In Zimbabwe, an economic and political crisis is sending the country into a downward spiral. Millions of people are at risk of starvation. The AIDS crisis is dramatically lowering the life expectancy. Inflation is out of control and basic commodities are in short supply. Common Ground's Chris Layman recently visited Zimbabwe and brought back his observations in this audio postcard.
Everywhere you go in Zimbabwe, there are lines. There are lines at the supermarkets, if you're lucky enough to find one stocked with food. There are lines at the gas stations. And there are lines at the banks, if you're lucky enough to find one with any money. These are no ordinary lines. They are lines that would test the patience of any good soul. I asked a Zimbabwean man named Wellington how people can wait so patiently. He told me that people here are good at waiting. He said people here have been waiting for 23 years. The comment was a bold one. 23 years happens to be the length of time that President Robert Mugabe has been in office. People in Zimbabwe are ready for a change. But many international observers say challengers to the ruling ZANU-PF party face intimidation, harassment, and worse. Even so, the opposition party, Movement for a Democratic Change, has gained ground in nearly every election in the past 4 years. But progress comes with a price. The presence of an active opposition has led to deep divisions in villages, families, and even in churches. Danisa Ndlovu is bishop of the 29,000-strong Brethren in Christ Church of Zimbabwe.
I think our people have been polarized, divided in many ways through political lines and so forth. There have been instances where violence has been experienced, where people actually fight over divergent views and things like that. So you have a situation sometimes where maybe parents are supporting one party and children are supporting another. You can actually see and sense the tensions that are created, not only in the families, but then in society, communities as a whole. So I think, yeah, there has been a lot of heartaches, in my view, and psychological pain in our people.
The deep political divisions have done little to ease the suffering of Zimbabwe's 11 million people. The United Nations estimates some 5 million Zimbabweans will need food aid this year. The country's food shortages are compounded by the ongoing battle against the AIDS epidemic. The World Health Organization says about one-third of all Zimbabwean adults are infected with the HIV virus, and hundreds of thousands of AIDS orphans populate the country. In Zimbabwe, it is said the government is so broke it can't even print more money. Whether this is true or simply a rumor is almost beside the point. When I got to Zimbabwe, my hotel offered me an exchange rate of 800 Zimbabwe dollars for one U.S. dollar. By the time I left, 2 weeks later, young men on the street would gladly give me 3,000 Zimbabwe dollars for a U.S. dollar. If there's one thing that can still bring Zimbabweans together, it's probably music. On street corners, in nightclubs, in Sunday morning church services, music fills the air. Bishop Danisa Ndlovu.
One would say that music is our life. We sing when we're sad. We sing when we're happy. It's an expression of our inner feelings. And so music really is what we are. And when you want to listen to our heartbeat, then I think you want to listen to our music.
On my last day in Zimbabwe, I needed a cab for a 3-mile trip to my hotel. I found a beaten-up looking car parked at a taxi stand and a driver willing and eager to take me anywhere I needed to go. The problem was I didn't have enough Zimbabwean currency left in my pocket to pay the fare. So I offered the driver 7,000 Zimbabwe dollars and one U.S. dollar. He quickly accepted my proposal and touched two wires together under his dashboard. The car started up and off we went. But a mile or so later, I realized the engine was off and we were coasting down a hill at an alarming rate of speed. The driver turned to me and flashed a broad smile. "This saves gas," he said. He popped the clutch at the bottom of the hill, and the engine cooperatively came back to life. The 10-minute journey was a microcosm of the country's failing economic system. Cash flow problems, fuel shortages, and a taxi driver who swore the only reason he had to hotwire his car was because he had lost the key. It's hard to know when Zimbabwe will reach the bottom of its freefall. Some say there's no hope for recovery as long as Robert Mugabe remains in office. Others say the solution is not that simple. But with international attention focused elsewhere, many Zimbabweans think the worst thing that could happen to them is that the world forgets about their plight. For Common Ground, I'm Chris Lehman in Zimbabwe.